Hello, and a very warm welcome to Monocle on Design Extra. It's a show brought to you by the team behind Monocle's dedicated weekly design program. I'm Nolan Giles. In each episode, we turn our gaze to a design story that we think deserves a little more attention. And today, we're traveling back in time to 1960s Australia. Here, home builders were instrumental in ensuring housing could keep pace with the booming population, and one company delivered better stock than most. They were called Pettit and Sevett. Established by Brian Pettit and Ron Sevett, the company pioneered project homes by world-class architects, commissioning the likes of Ken Woolley, Michael Dysart, and Robin Boyd to create a range of considered designs for their clients. After a hiatus of almost 40 years, the company was relaunched in 2011. To find out more about its foundation, legacy, and rebirth, here's its current director and Ron's son, Colin Sevett.
My father and his future partner, Brian Pettit, worked at a company called Sunline in the late 50s. And they were sort of pioneering architect-designed project homes in the late 50s. That was just starting to happen. But there was a credit squeeze in the late 50s. So they found themselves in difficult financial circumstances, this company, Sunline, and they had to fold the business. My father, Ron, and Brian, they decided to start their own company. And the company Pettit and Sevett was born. Fortunately, they had names that rhymed. From that point on, they decided to try and make a difference from a design point of view to project housing in Australia, which up until that point was fairly uninspired, box-like houses. It was at a time when design was really taking off, you know, in all areas, in fashion, in cars, furniture, fabrics. The early 60s, the late 60s really were, in my mind, like the golden age of design. In the early days of Pettit and Sevett, they briefed a young up-and-coming architect called Ken Woolley, who was working for the state government. And I think he'd won a design competition. So then, you know, they might have seen that somewhere in the news. They decided to brief him and Michael Dysart to design a home which would be suitable for Sydney's sloping sites. Out of that brief, Ken Woolley and Michael Dysart designed the split level, which has now considered a modernist classic in residential architecture in Australia. So that was a house designed on two or three levels that, you know, conformed to the slope of the site. And that was successful. The standard designs could be varied. The customer would have a meeting with the architects, so let's say Ken Woolley and my father, Ron. They would have a meeting with them and talk to them about what their requirements were, so they could basically take that as a brief and understand how the house might be varied. They might need to make it a bit bigger, they might want to have a garage underneath, or, you know, various variations that they could do to a degree. They would stick to the design concept. They wouldn't stray too widely from the design concept. So it was still, you know, that same design, but with variations. There was a growing section of the community that was becoming more design conscious. They were wanting something like that. You know, they aspired to have an architect designed home in a natural setting, and, you know, in some up and coming suburb, you know, with a lovely 60s sports car parked out the front, but they couldn't afford a one-off architect design house. So here comes this company who can say, hey, we've already got it designed. We can vary it a little bit to suit your requirements, and it's going to be a lot cheaper than if you go to an architect and brief them to come up with a one-off design. For those people who aspired to a well-designed house but couldn't afford it, they were providing it. We noticed throughout the 90s and the early 2000s articles in the media that were about the state of project homes in Australia. Why were we building these huge McMansions everywhere that take up every square inch of the land and there's no room for a garden and they're guzzling energy and, you know, people were becoming more aware of energy consumption, I guess overdevelopment. Sometimes petted and severed was mentioned in these articles. It's like, well, you know, where's the petted and severed of today, right? My mother actually went to a conference in the late 90s, which was held by Bob Carr when he was the state premier, about the state of residential design. And within the first 5 minutes, somebody yelled out, "Where's the petted and severed of today?" Right? And my mother was in the audience. So she said, "Well, you know, maybe we're going to try and come back." So the new version of petted and severed has been going concern for us for nearly 10 years, but very much a sort of passion project. We want to keep the legacy of petted and severed alive and develop and build new houses. Recently, we have collaborated with Popov Bass in Australia, the renowned architects, to develop a new range of homes for petted and severed.
My thanks to Colin Sevett there, speaking to Monocle's Nick Manise. And that's all for this week. If you're eager for more design stories, listen to our full-length program, airing on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. London time. Today's episode was produced by Maylie Evans. I'm Nolan Giles. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.